Children, I want you to imagine with me that you are going to visit a very, very wealthy and powerful man, a man named Mr. X. And Mr. X has asked to see you because he has decided to give a very wonderful prize to a child. And so he is interviewing different children at his huge mansion. Now, as you are being taken to the mansion of Mr. X in his own private limousine, his representatives are beginning to tell you what you should expect when you arrive at the mansion. You need to know that you're going to be watched all the time. Even when you're alone in Mr. X's mansion, there will be cameras and microphones in the room that will record your every move. Special X-ray machines have been set up that are able to penetrate into your mind. So even your feelings and your thoughts will be known by Mr. X. And since he is going to give you such a wonderful prize, he is especially interested to watch you as you care for the things in his mansion while you are awaiting to be interviewed by him. He'll also observe the way you relate to others in his house. He wants to know what kind of child you are. Of course, you're going to want to impress Mr. X before he sits you down for his interview. You want to do well when you finally meet him and be interviewed. Suddenly, the limousine stops, and you discover that you're parked in front of an immense mansion. Are you ready? How are you going to conduct yourself as you walk into the huge hallway of Mr. X's mansion? The hallway is filled with treasures and expensive artwork. What are you going to do? Are you going to walk up and touch the paintings? How will you act when you realize that Mr. X is watching you and he can hear what you're saying? How are you going to treat his furniture when you are in his parlor? How will you react to his servants who are in his house? What are you going to be thinking about, knowing that maybe that special X-ray machine is reading your thoughts? You're waiting to be interviewed, and you're wondering, what is the prize that this wealthy man has decided to give to the child? The point is, you're not going to say or do anything without having Mr. X in your mind. You're going to conduct yourself with him in your mind. You're going to speak with him in your mind. You're going to respect the things in his house because he owns them and because the people in his house represent him. And because you know that in a little while, he's going to interview you. And there's a great prize that will be given at the end of the interview. Perhaps this illustration might help us to understand something about our responsibility to fear God. And children, your parents have a responsibility to instruct you in the fear of God. Now, by fear, I don't mean to be afraid that God will hurt you, but rather to fear him in the sense of respecting him, in the sense of honoring him, in the sense of thinking very highly of him and valuing him as most important. Parents are to see to it that our children learn to live in God's world under God's eye in anticipation of meeting God, and to instruct our children to respect God's things and desire more than anything else to please our God. So consider tonight, in our series, If I Were a Christian Kid, the sermon entitled, I Need to Live in the Fear of God. First of all, the fear of God is the foundation of wisdom. We learned about our parents' responsibility, that they have a job before God. And their job involves teaching us as children the fear of God. And the book of Proverbs in particular serves a daddy to this purpose, because it was written by a daddy for his sons, by a father for his sons. At the beginning of the book of Proverbs, if you turn there, you soon read and learn that the fear of God is joined with obedience to parents, and that parents are instructed to teach their children in the fear of God. Notice verse 7 of Proverbs 1. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Notice the words concerning learning, knowledge, wisdom, instruction, two times, teaching. See, Proverbs is given, children, so that you will become wise. Notice how the book begins in verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, equity, to give prudence to the naive, to the youth, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel, to understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles. You see, the proverbs in verse 4 are for the naive. They are for the youth. The naive are those who have not experienced life. That's the youth. You haven't been here long enough to experience the things that your teachers and parents and counselors have experienced. Everything to the child is new. He's constantly going to places he's never been before, seeing things he's never seen before, hearing things he's never heard before. He's naive in his youth. He encounters things in which he has no experience. The Proverbs is given to give wisdom in behavior, to teach the child how to behave wisely as they encounter what is unknown before them. The great need of the child, your great need, children, is to be taught and to learn, to understand what life is and how to live it. The Proverbs has been especially written for you. Now, children, look at me. If you can't see me, move to a place where you can and give ear to me, and I will teach you Jehovah's fear. Notice what the scripture says. The first thing that is necessary to build a life of wisdom is to lay the proper foundation. And the proper foundation is what? What is the foundation? What is the beginning? It's the fear of the Lord. It's the fear of the Lord. That's the beginning. That's the foundation. That's the most important thing to get in place so that you can then learn other things rightly, built upon this foundation. Now notice that Solomon immediately brings the child under the voice of his or her parents in verse 8. The fear of the Lord is immediately joined with the father's voice, "Listen to me, son. Pay attention to me, and do not forsake my instruction or your mother's teaching." The parents are the ones who are responsible to make sure that the child grows in the fear of God, that the child is given instruction and teaching. About what? Well, about many things. But the most important thing and the most foundational thing is the fear of the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10, we read, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." This is a parallelism. The Hebrew often writes in this form, paralleling lines. The fear of the Lord is paralleled with the knowledge of the Holy One. In other words, your most important subject to understand and begin to learn is theology. Knowledge of God. Knowledge of who the Holy One is. What is He like? What does He do? What does He say? What does He expect from me? To learn to live with a constant respect and orientation toward God, an awareness of His presence, and an awareness that He is judging and measuring everything in my life. This involves at least five things. It involves, first of all, the fact of God's existence. The fear of the Lord. God is acknowledged as the one who is present. His name is Yahweh. I am who I am. I am present. I am here. I am in your life. And your life is lived before me. He is the God who exists. And we live and move and have our being in Him. He is here. I live before Him. The second aspect is the authority of God that is acknowledged. Children, the world's boss is the Lord. Nobody tells God what to do. He does not obey anybody's commands. He does what pleases Him. In the counsel of His own wisdom, in the purity of His own holiness, motivated by His own transcendent love. All other people are made to do what God tells them to do, but nobody tells God what to do. His authority is supreme. Thirdly, we must understand that God knows everything about everybody with perfect knowledge. He understands not only what we do, but why we do it. He understands what we really mean when we say the things we say. He sees us in the dark. He hears what we think. God sees me. Parents, that's a good thing to have your children repeat when they jump out of the car at school. God sees me. Fourthly, we're made to glorify and honor God, as we learned this morning, to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. That means we need to learn to desire above all things to do that which pleases God, and to be the kind of child that brings a smile to our Heavenly Father's face, to be approved by God. Not in the sense that we can earn salvation, but in the sense that our motive is truly to please God. And we do that, of course, by following Christ in obedience to Him by faith. And fifthly, it means that God judges what we do. Now, in this life, in this age, the judgments of God are visited upon men. And finally, and ultimately, in the day of final judgment. You see, God is concerned, children, about such things as what's right and what's wrong, what's good and what's bad, what's evil and what's good. He's more concerned about your character than he is about whether or not you win the championship game. He's concerned about the kind of person you are, not whether or not you're the best piano player in your class. He's worried about your character. He's concerned about your character. He wants you to image him, to reflect him in the kind of person that you are. You need to understand, children, that if you do not fear God, if you do not respect him, if you do not have a concern for the things that he commands you to do, and you do wrong and bad things, then you will experience God's anger. If we do fear God and do what is right and good, then we will experience God's blessings. Now, let me make an aside to parents. Understand, parents, I'm not teaching justification here. What I'm teaching is that this world has a moral order to it. And our children need to understand that there are principles of justice that operate in the world. We need to teach our children the sowing and reaping dynamic of doing and reaping repercussions, of punishments and rewards. It's not perfectly the case, but it is essentially true that the holy man is the happy man and the blessed man. And during the times of childhood, as parents, we need to fortify God's testimony of moral law into their consciences. Their conscience is the most important component of the development of their character, the development of the personality. You see, the child bearing the image of God has a conscience that resonates with what is perceived to be right and what is perceived to be wrong, and knows that right things should be rewarded and bad things should be punished. Your kids need to have that affirmed in the way in which you administer discipline and the way in which you instruct them about how to behave in the world. The world is going to tell them that they can get away with sin and not be punished. You need to tell them that if they sin, they will be punished. And in your home, if they sin, they should be punished. And you need to tell them that when they behave themselves well and do what is right, they'll be blessed and they'll be rewarded and there'll be happiness in that. Those are the essential dynamics of God's government that are yet intact and are to be brought onto the child through parental authority. They need to have that built into them so that when they come to the experiences that they will, you know them well, of Asaph and Psalm 73, when they look at the world and say, how come the wicked seem like they're getting away with things? They can remember to go into the sanctuary of God and know that the day of judgment is coming. And that God, even in history, as we saw in Habakkuk, visits judgment upon evil men, even in time and in history. We need to teach our children that God is, God exists, that he is supreme in his authority, that he knows everything, that we've been made to glory, to glorify and honor him, and that he is our judge. If you would be wise, children, understand these things. God exists. He rules over all. He sees and knows everything about you. He wants you to please him. And he judges you in this life and in the age to come. Fear of God is the foundation of wisdom. Secondly, the fear of God brings a life of blessing. And here's where we'll take a brief survey, bouncing chronologically through some of the Proverbs, beginning in chapter 8 of Proverbs. The fear of God brings a life of blessing. Chapter 8 of Proverbs, reading from verse 12. I, wisdom, And here we ought to hear the voice of Jesus Christ. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverted mouth I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. Power is mine. By me, kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me, princes rule and nobles, all who judge rightly. I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even pure gold, and my yield better than choicest silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of justice, to endow those who love me with wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. The blessings of wisdom are displayed before us to entice us to grow and build upon this foundation of the fear of the Lord, which involves the hatred of evil, the hatred of pride, the hatred of the perverted mouth, the twisted mouth, which is a description of lies, and enjoying what is right and what is good, cultivating humility and the telling and doing of the truth. It is a life of obedient faith, and that life will bring us into blessings and riches. It is the stuff of which kings cultivate in the exercise of their rule. Now, to hear God talk about wealth and righteousness and that which is better than gold and silver, one can only imagine things which have not yet been seen, nor has it entered the heart of man, what God has prepared for those who love Him. In chapter 10 and verse 27, again, just jumping into a couple of the Proverbs, the fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. Living in the fear of the Lord promises a long life, not only in this age, but it speaks of an eternal life. It speaks of the promise of eternal life. In Proverbs 14, verse 26 and 27, in the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence, and His children will have refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may avoid the snares of death. This security, living in the fear of God. There are blessings for your family and your children. Life that will bubble up like fountain, contrasted with snares and traps of death. Chapter 15, verse 16. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and turmoil with it. The fear of the Lord brings peace, something that money can't give you, something that great worldly goods can't give to you. But the fear of the Lord is far better, even in poverty, than having turmoil and sitting in a great banquet. What would you like to have? A meager table with your children sitting around a meager meal, but delighting in each other and laughing and enjoying one another, or sitting in opulence, eating off gold plates, and your children, some of them not there, they don't even want to eat with you anymore. And the ones that are there are angry and bitter and arguing with one another and disrespectful. I'll take the first scene. Well, that's what the fear of the Lord promises, that sense of security and peace. Chapter 15, verse 33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction for wisdom, and before honor comes humility. The fear of the Lord instructs the heart to be humble. You get yourself in perspective in relation to God, and you'll start to learn humility. That's the way to honor. Humility is the beginning of honor. In chapter 16, verse 6, by loving kindness and truth, iniquity is atoned for, and by the fear of the Lord, one keeps away from evil. The fear of the Lord will protect you. The fear of the Lord will prevent you from making foolish decisions that would otherwise put your foot into the snare of death, teaching you to stay away from evil. Chapter 19 and verse 23, the fear of the Lord leads to life, so that one may sleep satisfied, untouched by evil. Here is the life of security and peace and sound sleep. I remember during the months leading up to my mom's death, she was battling cancer, and there came a point where she realized that her days were numbered. And my father, during that time, was unconverted. And he tells how it was that she used to kneel by her bed, say her prayers, get into bed, and go to sleep. And he'd lie in bed, absolutely frantic. Couldn't sleep, tossing and turning, wake up, look at her, and wonder what's in store. Absolutely frantic. And here she's the one with the cancer, about to die, sleeping. The fear of the Lord. Proverbs 22 and verse 4. The reward of humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life, eternal riches. Honor from Christ, well done, good and faithful servant, will mean far more than a stadium of people applauding you. Honor and life, eternal life. The fear of the Lord brings great reward. Proverbs 23, verse 17 and 18. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but live in the fear of the Lord always. Surely there is a future, and your hope will not be cut off. Be content with what God has given you, and don't live envious. Want the life that God wants for you. It's the life He's given you. Live in contentment with God in the place that He's put you, in the circumstance in which you're in. Delight in the Lord, and He'll be with you in that situation, in that circumstance. And be assured that there's a future for you, for those who live in the fear of God. So by way of application, children, you need to understand you're facing a choice. In Proverbs 29, verse 25, Proverbs 29 and verse 25. The fear of man brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted. There's that parallelism again. It's telling you, here's a choice, children. You got a choice. Who you're going to honor, respect, who you're going to think is most important. And choice basically comes down to this. You'll either fear man or you'll fear God. You'll either fear the voice of people or you'll fear the voice of God. You'll either fear the voice of your friends at school or you'll fear the voice of God. You'll either fear your own voice or you'll fear the voice of God. You're either going to fear God or man. And if you fear man, then you're making man into a god and you're serving an idol. And if you trust men more than you trust God, hear the warnings. Your feet will fall into the snares of death. You'll step on the traps that are set for fools. And they'll snap on your feet. And by the time you get into your 20s and get into your 30s, your feet are going to be in traps that you can't get out of. Why did I make that decision in my sexual activity when I was a teenager? Look at the trap that I'm in now. Can't get my foot out of it. That decision that I made with my money back in my mid-20s. Look at the trap I'm in. Can't get my foot out of it. Why didn't I go to school, pay attention, and accomplish the things that I was told to do when I was a child? Now look at me. I'm stuck. I can't move. I'm in the trap. Pay attention. What you sow is what you reap. That's the way the world works. You'll either fear God or you fear man. And if you fear God, He'll guide you. He'll direct you in the way of life and security and protection and peace. He'll direct you in the way of rewarding relationships and gratifying friendships. Now, the wisdom of man says, don't pay any attention to that. There is no such thing as this God. Don't listen to that. You can be like God to yourself. Just do what you want to do. Go to a Disney movie and find the divine spark within you. There's really no authority. There's no truth that's better than another truth. There's no supreme ruler that we must all answer to. God isn't paying attention to you. If he exists, he's got more important things to worry about. Don't worry about it. You can sin. You can disobey your parents. You can get away with that. You can be disrespectful to your teachers. Don't worry. God doesn't see. God doesn't care. Nobody sees. You can sin and not be punished. Children, that is from the mouth of Satan. Do not believe that lie. And the world will say there is no judgment. There is no real right or wrong. Just do what feels good to you. There's just customs. There's just the way things have happened. And all that's changing now anyway. Just do what's right in your own eyes. And don't worry about judgment or death. After you die, there's nothing. We all just evaporate. That's the voice of man. You fear that voice, it's the path of death. It's a broad road, and there are many on that road. To fear man more than God requires you to be a certain kind of person, a proud person, a rebellious person. And you need to be warned that God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So who do you respect more, children? That YouTube video that's broadcasting your favorite music group, or Solomon's voice of wisdom that comes from the book of Proverbs? You're either going to fear God or fear man. Live your life to please men or live your life to please God. Secondly, if you are a Christian kid, then your greatest desire at this time in your life is to learn to fear the Lord. Proverbs 2. Proverbs 2. You're reading in verse 1. My son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice, and he preserves the way of his godly ones. Then you will discern righteousness and justice and equity and every good course, for wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will guard you. Understanding will watch over you. Children, listen, this is directed to you. I'm not treating you as though you're not here. I'm not trying to or talking over your heads. I'm addressing you as people who are responsible, as boys and girls who are going to answer to God. And I'm talking to you so that you will listen. My son, if you're going to receive my words, if you'll listen, I'm calling you to faith. I'm calling you now. I bear witness before God. I remember a time in my life when I read this portion of Scripture. I got down on my knees and I said, Lord, and in the sincerity of my heart, as honest as I could be before God, I prayed, Lord, give me wisdom. Give me this. I want this more than I want money. I want this more than I want popularity. I want this more than I want anything else. And it was the genuine, sincere desire of my heart. And children, that's what I want you to do. I want you to do that tonight. I want you to do that right now. And to meet God. How? First, do what Solomon says. Listen to God's words. Receive my sayings. Make your ear attentive. If you discover that I'm not paying attention, smack yourself and pay attention. Give me your ears, says Solomon. We're talking to you. We're talking about you. Listen and pay attention. Love God's words. treasure my commandment. Incline your heart. Value these words. These words are more valuable than gold and silver, than riches and anything in the world. These words are the words by which eternal life will be communicated to you. Nothing you can buy can give you eternal life. No place in the world can you find it. But it will be revealed to you here as Christ shows himself to you in these words. Pray these words. Ask for wisdom. Cry out. Lift up your voice. Can you speak, children? How many of you here can speak? You got to be kidding me. None of you can speak. How many of you can speak? All right. If you can speak, you need to speak to God. You need to speak to God. You need to speak. You need to pray. And you need to study. You need to search. You need to seek. Okay, here's a dangerous one. How many of you can read? Don't tell me you're deaf and blind. How many of you can read? Good for you. Read your Bibles. Read your Bibles. Determine in 2010, I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to read my Bible. The child who listens to the Word, who loves the Word, who treasures the Word, who prays with a heart of genuine childlike sincerity, this Word back to God, who studies to understand and know this Word, I'll tell you, that child will live with God in his life. The God who will teach him or her and guide him or her. That child will be taught by God. Wisdom will enter your heart. And you'll learn evil is something you start to stay away from. And decisions that you need to be make will be made with discretion and discernment. And your character will begin to develop. And you don't have to become a 10 or 13-year-old brat. You can become a young woman or a young man. You can mature. You can grow up to be wise and stay away from wicked people and avoid many tragic things that come upon fools who in their arrogance and pride think they know it all and can do it their way, and they bring destruction upon their own heads. I set before you the fear of God. Is this not the way of truth? Is this not the way of life? Is this not the life worth living? Who has ever lived this life of the fear of God? Only one. Jesus Christ. In true, genuine, perfect wisdom. He is our wisdom. He is our life. Follow him, children. And he will teach you wisdom and fear of God. He will give you his peace, his joy. Who would refuse what is being offered? I, wisdom, stand in the street and declare, here are my goods. Anyone who hears can have these. Seek wisdom. Our new verse, Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and by the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Learn the fear of God. Amen.